Welcome back to this special edition of the Energy Transitions podcast, focusing on all things Spanish mobility. In the first episode, we discussed the opportunities and challenges Spain has been experiencing in the e-mobility sector. Although the numbers are notable, whether in subsidies, EV uptake, or charging infrastructure, the fact remains that the country is behind when compared with other countries on the continent. Additionally, as all this electrified tech comes online, it poses a challenge for the power grid, which will need to accommodate its load. So, what can be done about this? To find out more, in this episode, I speak to Jorge Muñoz Riesco, the head of smart mobility at Iberdrola. Jorge, who will be speaking at Elite Europe later this year in Bilbao, is in charge of the Iberdrola public charging network for EVs. I'm Yusuf Latif, and this is episode 2 of the special edition Energy Transition miniseries. Enjoy the episode. The electrification of mobility in Spain clearly has momentum. There's huge number of EVs coming onto the road, and I think that with those EVs coming onto the road, there's also a significant uptake in charging infrastructure. But I think there's another side to the story, in that when you compare it with other countries in Europe, the level is a bit lower. Considering this, and from what you've seen in your experience, what are some of the main challenges and key opportunities in Spain when it comes to the segment?
Okay, this year, during 2025, we are seeing a big increase in EV penetration and sales. It's really the year that we were waiting for during the last 3 years. The sales of electric vehicles during 2023-24, they were very flat. And this year, we are seeing a rise up to 17% of EV, and by EV, it's pluggable vehicles. And during the year, it's even increasing. In June, we saw 21% of penetration. That's very good. And everything is changing this year, because I think we have been able, the market in Spain has been able to touch the specific things which we were lacking in Spain of having to make all this thing work. So together with Spain has a country structure based on many people living in blocks. So you have a so good access to private charging in your house. The distances are big because Madrid is in the center, and which is the biggest populated area, and the rest of the biggest populated area are in the coast. So the distances are big. So the structure of the country is not so good for EVs, looking at the range of them, as it could be in other countries. So in Spain, one of the biggest worries were the range and range anxiety and all that stuff, and the price. Spain has lower salaries than average in Europe. So the access to electric vehicles was more difficult. Also, the EVs which were produced in the last years were higher range in terms of price. And now what we are seeing this year is that smaller models, cheaper, with longer ranges, are coming into the market. So that's what is changing totally the scenario of the situation, together with the increase of the network, of the charging network. So we are right now about 50,000 charging points in Spain, which ratios around of 12 or 13 EVs per charging point, which is good and which is one of the biggest in Europe. So now we are having the cars, we are having at a good price, and we are having the infrastructure to charge them. And that infrastructure has even a big amount of quick charging points. So out of those 50,000, 10,000 charging points are fast, and over 5,000 are ultra fast, which is demanded to be able to do the trips among all those towns that we were speaking at the beginning. So this year for us is the inflection point that we were waiting for during the last years. And now the things are starting to really move in the EV sector.
Hi, Laurie here from the Enlit Europe team. Are you ready to drive the EV revolution? Then join us at the Mobility Zone at Enlit Europe, 18th to 20th of November in Bilbao. This is where transport meets energy, bringing together utilities, regulators, OEMs, charge point operators, and innovators from across the value chain. The Mobility Zone puts you at the heart of the action. Don't miss it. Be part of the conversations shaping the future of mobility at Enlitz Europe in Bilbao.
It's interesting, those numbers that you say, 50,000 charging points, from what we see, 1 in 13 EV to charging infrastructure or charge spot. In the conversation that I had in the previous podcast, the numbers were a bit different, but I can imagine it's hard to get an exact number. They mentioned something like 40,000 charging points, 1 in 10. But it's still good that this momentum is building, right? And you say that 2025 is the inflection point. What do you think tipped the scales there? Or is it just something that time has been building up towards?
Time, it has been what has led us to at least to deploy all the infrastructure, because all the companies that are deploying infrastructure in Spain have been during 5-6 years doing it prior to the vehicles to be there. And the time to do the development, the construction, all the projects for the charging points, and even more the high power charging points, it takes a lot of time here in Spain. So we are speaking of above 2 years, above 3 years sometimes, to develop a station with several charging points above 100 kilowatts. So what we needed was really some time to have that infrastructure. And we knew that that infrastructure was going to be there with very little use before the cars were going to come. But we have a clear view that the cars are going to come, because that's technology that we really think it's going to prevail, because it's they are just better cars in almost all the aspects, and they are going to be cheaper, they're going to be better. So that's going to happen. And I think that's what the sector is doing right now, is investing on all of that. And we needed time. In terms of infrastructure, we needed time in terms of the car manufacturers to be able to have the scale costs enough to drive down the prices, which is happening right now.
It's good to hear that the numbers are really increasing. The different types of EVs that are coming onto the road are getting more complex. This is a huge, massively electrified asset. When it comes to integrating it onto the grid, I know that this may be a bit of a challenge. What do you think is needed to ensure that this integration is as smooth as possible onto the power system?
The power network, the network itself in Spain, it's a very good network. It has had lots of investments in the last years. So to reach the point we are right now, the network has been enough. The amount of generation and green generation also, it's a high, and it's enough. Up to this point, we are more or less okay. The real challenges are going to come in the next years. And why this is going to happen? Because the investment in the network should be before the deployment of charging stations. We have been, all the sector, and specifically Iberdrola, we have been building charging stations of 1 megawatt, 2 megawatts, 3 megawatts, those sizes for the high power charging. But now we are facing the building of stations for trucks, stations for heavy duty transport, bigger stations for cars. And those stations are required to be sometimes in very rural areas or not close to the big nodes of the network. So what we would need to keep on developing real well distributed network to serve all the needs of those kind of transports would be to have the electric network to reach to those places with high power. So the challenges for the next 5-10 years, it's how to invest prior to when we are going to develop the stations, to have the cables, let's say, the power available in certain places, but also in cities which are going to need much more power. So that's in terms of the physical investment of the networks. So the networks needs to be developed and needs to be developed upfront and before all those things are going to happen. The second thing, it's the in terms of energy and in terms of energy management, how we are going to be able to manage the flows of, okay, there are going to be cases in which there's just supply to the cars, but in the cities during the peak hours, the shave hours, let's say, how we can manage in the future that bidirectionality of the energy, that's going to be a big deal. Also, I think more for companies and for very intensive users with fleets, probably. But we need also a regulation here, and that's a challenge, which it's not there right now. A regulation to be able to inject massively into a network the energy from batteries at certain hours, which in the future will be needed. It's not something that now it's absolutely crucial for the EV and for the economics of the EV, but we only have 2% of penetration in the total stock of cars. When we're speaking of 20%, 30%, 50%, there will be a huge amount of batteries distributed along the country. Probably a lot of people will want to consume at the same time, and it will be a smart way of distributing that load and to be able to balance the system.
Very happy you bring up bidirectional charging. I think smart charging in general is a pretty hot topic right now across Europe. It's being investigated, and the value case is pretty significant in terms of what it can offer for, like you said, managing that power load. You mentioned regulations as being a barrier, and I wonder if there's anything else. I know that interoperability is a bit of a challenge, perhaps infrastructure. What do you see as being the key challenges to overcome before we can really look towards these types of enhanced charging as a reliable way of integrating fleets of EVs?
What we see in terms of energy management or smart charging, it's right now with the market prices, the biggest part of the benefit could be just in interoperability. It would be just not to charge when you plug, but wait for charging at the best moments. If you are going to have plugged the vehicle for the next 15 hours, 16 hours, and maybe the moment is not when you plug it. It's if it's a professional fleet, when you just finish the shift and you leave the vehicle, but probably to wait for the night and to charge at that time. The same will happen in the houses. It's something around 50% of the benefits is just move your charge to another moment. Okay. And that's happening right now. That's happening right now in buses, for example, in buses with tens of buses charging at the same time with a big connection, but not so big for maybe 40 or 50 buses. Now it's a very important part of the infrastructure and the operation, the smart charging, in terms of just sequentially charge different buses. In residential applications, we already have a service which charges your car at the best moment, and you can benefit from those savings as well. And after we control and everyone is able to charge at the best moment of the day, which is the best moment in terms of prices, but also the best moment in terms of network congestion. So we are saving also investment of networks. The second step would be going to vehicle to X, let's say, or vehicle to home or vehicle to grid. Let's say that just the ability to supply energy to your home, to your company, to the place where you are connected, also have some benefits. You can already do that. In Spain, you don't need a further regulation right now, and you can get another benefit from that. That's going to come later because it needs specific chargers. It needs specific controllers in those chargers. So you need more investment than the first step that you can do it right now because it's just managing the vehicle. So this second step, which is easier than injecting to the grid, also has benefits. And the final part, so the third step would be the ability to inject to the grid. For that grid injection, which is going to unblock the last part of the benefit, that's the most difficult part because there are sale prices on that, of the energy you are selling. It's a management of the energy that you are injecting to the grid. There's regulations in terms of how you do that, and more technical features. So this last part doesn't need to be now. I'm sure it will be in the future. It will happen in the following years, but it's important for everyone to know that we can use a lot of value of the smart charging prior to do the vehicle to grid. Although the vehicle to grid will happen, the vehicle to grid will be needed, and the vehicle to grid will help the network to stabilize and to be able to manage the loads in the future, which, you know, it's changing the shape of the consumption, is changing, the renewables are generating at the times they are generating. So the generation is changing, the consumption must be changed. We can do that. And the storage will make a difference in all this market in the future. So for me, are those three steps.
I think another one to mention there is vehicle to everything. And I love all these different acronyms. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to how the charging from the EV is managed, right? I know that Iberdrola in Spain is testing a lot of this through its smart mobility lab in Bilbao. There's also a partnership with Renault, which I believe has an element of vehicle to grid involved. Why are these types of initiatives important as the pace of transport electrification accelerates?
So all these things that we are speaking about, this vehicle to grid, this all this energy management, it's something that maybe it's not happening right now, but it will happen for sure, because there's an opportunity of gigawatt hours of storage distributed across the country in the future, and to do things with that. So one of the things that we do is to try to prepare for that. Although there is no value yet for some customers, or there's no hardware yet installed to be able to manage that. So we have, as you were saying, this mobility lab in Bilbao, in which is, by the way, I would say the most advanced mobility lab in terms of charging infrastructure in Spain, probably. We test all the chargers. We test not only that they work properly in charging, but that they work properly in terms of what you were saying, smart charging, in terms of plug and charge, in terms of the new technologies that are coming. We do that in order to integrate and in order to operate them correctly, because for us it's very important the availability of the network, that the charging points are operating as much time as possible. But we also do a test with car manufacturers in that lab. So for us, it's something which is helpful for us for the today operation, for the future operation in terms of what's going to happen and what we can do with the cars, and also for our partners and the car manufacturers to understand why some things are happening, why this car is not speaking good with this charger, or this bus is having troubles with this other charger. So we do all of that in that place, that we have hundreds of charging points there, and everything is being tested. Charging manufacturers that we work with and charging manufacturers that we don't work with. So for us, we need to be prepared, and the sector needs to be prepared, and we need to reach the technical solution that works before we put it in practice. And we have a real management in the field of those things. Regarding the Renault agreement that we launched with them some months ago in May, what we are doing right now with that agreement is that the customers who buy a Renault, they are getting energy included with the car. And we are able to do that because we are applying smart management, smart charging to those cars. It's not yet vehicle to grid, because in Spain, you cannot do vehicle to grid, but it's unlocking the first part, and the biggest part of the savings that you can have is charging at the correct time every day the car. So with that, you can have so big savings that we can provide energy for free to those customers during 3 years.
I think perhaps a quick question as a follow-up. You said that in Spain you can't do vehicle-to-grid. What do you think, and you did talk about it a bit earlier, but what do you think is the main issue that needs to be addressed before we can do vehicle-to-grid in Spain? Or is this just a matter of time and technological development?
Indeed, you can do vehicle-to-grid if you have solar generation, but only in that case. So that means that if you have already solar panels, you can inject into the grid. If you have an EV and solar panels, you can inject into the grid. But if you have only an EV, you cannot inject to the grid. So with the correct hardware in terms of the charging point that is going to manage well the energy and is certified and is approved, let's say electrically, there shouldn't be a problem in reaching the vehicle to grid. So for us, it's just a matter of including it in the regulation and in the technical, let's say, assessment of the case. But we don't see any problem. That could be approved in the following months if there was will to do that.
I want to go back to these partnerships that we were talking about. When it comes to developing these initiatives, to doing these types of testings on technology, which is so important, what do you think is the role of this collaboration in the sector? And how should utilities such as Iberdrola position themselves?
What we see, it's the car manufacturers in the past, they built cars, they just sold them to the customers, and the customers fueled them, the customers took care of them. Now there's a new world of more integration of the car and the energy and the energy management. What we see is that the car manufacturers, they are seeing a new business line regarding the energy management, the energy supply, everything which is around the energy and the car, which is new for them. And even with a car, which right now it's more expensive, the hardware, than before, but the energy, the life of the car is cheaper. All this energy management is providing more value to be able to say the EV is better than combustion car because the life cycle is cheaper and it's more convenient and all that stuff. So what we see is that for these car manufacturers, the partnership with the utilities, it's more important than it was before to have a partnership with the energy provider, because the energy management in those connected cars, it's inherent, let's say, to the car itself. You are charging it at home, you are charging it everywhere, you are doing things with the energy, you are feeding your house in the future with your car, you are earning money with the energy in your car, so you are programming, you are looking at the energy at the SOC of the car. So the involvement of the customer with the energy is much higher than in the past. It's the day-to-day relationship with the car. I would say the car manufacturers want to be more present in that relationship, and the utilities can provide to the car manufacturers, together with the car manufacturers, to the customers all that. Let's say all those services, all that universe around the energy in terms of what you do at how in your house, what you do outside, how you manage, how you optimize, and all that stuff. So in the future, the energy and the car will be much more together and continuous during the life of the car. The role of the utilities it's there. And it will be there, I think, always, but in new associations and new partnerships with car manufacturers.
I mean, it's fascinating. This is the relationship between a person and their car is something that everyone, I think, takes for granted and has changed so much. It's so interesting to see because we're seeing that happen in front of our eyes, right? It's so interesting to see on a daily basis how much more complex it gets. And I think on that note, I'm just a bit conscious of time, so I think I'll just end it with one question. Jorge, what drove you to join the sector? There's all these different developments happening. What excites you? And does that inspiration still inspire you?
I've been working in the sector. I mean, I've always liked all the energy side of the engineering. I've been working in the utility sector for almost 20 years. And when I moved to the e-mobility, the decision, it was that it was the future of energy. I mean, energy the human being will always need energy. I don't know what will be the energy in 100 years, but there will be always energy needed. I love mobility. I've always loved cars, and the electric mobility is the future. It's going to happen. It's the best solution to mobility. So it's like putting together the cars and the mobility, which is a passion for me, with the energy, which is in the professional side, my passion, and the electric energy, which is the most efficient, the greenest, and which has the better attributes. So I think it's a safe bet to go there. It's exciting because it's a thriving sector right now. Every day there's new launches of new models, improvements from one year to the other in terms of everything. Cars much better, new batteries, new technologies, new ranges, new technologies in energy management. It's just a thriving sector. The things which have been happening from 2015 to 2035, probably all the development, all the changes in those 20 years, it's going to be similar to the changes in the combustion motor sector in the last 100 years, but all put into 20 years. It's so exciting to doing all that thing right now and to be part of it. It's just what I love from this work, which is so many things are happening at the same time. It's super, super, super demanding, but it's very exciting.
Last question, actually. Do you own an EV?
Yes.
Jorge, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast and for sharing your insights. To you, the listener, thank you for tuning into this episode. Jorge and I discussed several points here about the decarbonization of mobility in Spain, namely through electrification, that are also elaborated upon in episode 1 of the series released last week. If you haven't already, I highly recommend you go back and listen. I spoke to Pier Paolo Cazzola and Matteo Craglia from UC Davis about the decarbonization of the sector, discussing the challenges the country has been facing, but also its immense potential. We also talk about the April blackout in Iberia, demonstrating how crucial voltage management will be as electric assets come online in droves. Also, tune into the series next week, where the CEO of Vector, a ride-hailing services company with an aggressive electrification strategy, joins me to discuss evolving business models in the face of fleet electrification.